up at the end of the consent calendar with item number 10, Fred Steele.
Yes, Chair. So, Mr. Steele was a day late in quarter two of 2016, and then in quarter one of 2018 was 3 days late, and so he has asked for some consideration. The recommendation I have is a letter of education for quarter two of 16 and leave the $30 since it's under the $50 minimum that the commission does for a second late filing.
Okay. Any questions or discussion on the matter?
Move it down.
Okay. So moved by Commissioner Burke. All right. Any discussion on the motion? Right, we'll do a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Burke.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fixman.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day.
Aye.
Commissioner Sorkin.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item number 11, Jeffrey Ng.
Very similar to the last one. Again, I just want to point out to the commissioners, this is all part of this like cleanup effort, trying to go back and get all this stuff cleaned up since we've reported in the last couple of meetings that we actually have people filing timely now. So hopefully this is going to be less and less each time. But anyway, in this one, in quarter two of 16, they were a day late. In quarter three of 16, they were also a day late. I give a letter of education for the first one and $10 for the second one.
Any questions or discussion? Entertain a motion.
Move to adopt.
Thank you. Mr. Burke. All right. Unless there's any discussion, we'll proceed with the roll call vote.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fishman?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sorkin?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item 12, Edward McGloin.
Yes, Mr. McGloin was late on his lobby report. Quarter 3 of 2016, a couple of days late. Quarter 4 of 17, a day late. Now quarter 3 of 18, 2 days late. My recommendation is a letter of ed for the first violation and basically no reduction in either one of the other two violations under $50. So $10 for quarter three of 16 and $20 for quarter three of 18.
Any questions or discussion? I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Burke?
Move we adopt.
So moved. All right. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sorkin?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fixman?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item 13.
Okay, then we move over to the clients. First client, I'm sorry, Naked Extracts. Quarter three, they were 3 days late. Quarter one of 2017, they were 2 days late. In quarter two of 17, they were 2 days late. The recommendation is a letter of education for the third quarter of 2016 and leave the other two penalties alone at $20 for each one of the quarters.
Any questions or discussion? Yes, Mr. Beck.
Thank you. So, Mr. Burson, in the notes here, it notes that the business is still active at the Secretary of State's office, but the phone number's been disconnected. They're not accepting messages. Is this entity still an entity? Do we know? I mean, aside from it being still registered with the Secretary of State, it's possible that it could just be hanging out there until it lapses, right?
Well, they could be a client until, like I say, the registrations lapse. But Kathy could probably answer this. Those are your notes, aren't they, Kathy?
Those are my notes, yeah. Yes. And they have not responded to any attempts to collect.
The thing about all registrations lapsed December 31st, so they won't be before you again. So I'm assuming we didn't go forward with anything, so they won't do any more lobbying after this time.
Yeah, I guess the concern behind my question is more, are we going to assess a penalty against an entity that no longer exists? And I'm okay.
Well, it still exists because we have the Secretary of State's office, but you're right. I mean, the collection part of it. Well, they're bigger people than I that do that collection part. Department of Revenue.
No.
The Department of Revenue, they'll determine whether or not it's collectible or not. So, your words, not mine.
There you go. I'm okay with it. We'll let the collections folks figure it out, I guess. So, I'll move staff recommendation.
Okay, so moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day.
Aye.
Commissioner Sorensen.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Burke.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
And item 14.
Okay, the Willamette River Keepers, again, this is only cleanup efforts. So we actually have four quarters. All of them are $10 at $10. So we give a letter of education and leave the other three $10 whole, making a total of $30 for the Willamette River Keeper.
Okay. Any discussion or questions? Entertain a motion.
Move staff recommendation.
Okay. No,
you're fine. Just so moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sorensen?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
And item 15, Daria Land.
So, Ms. Land, she filed late for 2018. This is their statement of economic interest, which, by the way, I'll remind our new commissioner, you became a statement of economic interest, by the way.
I don't know what that means.
We'll talk about it. But you will not be in any of this part. The governor's office probably didn't tell you that part. Anyway, but welcome aboard. I am too. So is a lot of the people in the room.
It's like filing your taxes, only less painful.
Well, that's good.
Much less painful, yes. However, in 2019, she was also late. There's a letter of explaining the delinquency. My recommendation is a second violation of $50, but I will leave it in your hands with the letter that's written here.
Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Here,
so
this is Commissioner Fiskum. If this is a good moment for a quick comment.
Yes, Commissioner Fiskum, go ahead.
On page 53, I've written this land letter. On its face, to me, it is pretty compelling in light of her situation, if she describes it accurately, which I assume she does. So the question about whether it's worth our time to exact a fine is in my mind as I think about it. Owing that perspective to her letter, I'd be interested in other people's comments about her letter on page 53.
Yes, Commissioner O'Day.
Commissioner Fiskum, I'm inclined to agree with you, but I don't think two letters of education necessarily be the right answer. I instead would move that the past violations be addressed with a letter of education and the more recent violations be addressed with a nominal fine, just to send a message that this is something a public official should take seriously, and would move that amount be $20.
Okay. So moved. Any discussion on the motion? Okay. And we'll proceed with a roll call vote to assess $20 violation.
Commissioner Burke.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day.
Aye.
Commissioner Sorensen.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
So moving on to our stipulated final orders, we have item number 16, Frankie Petrick. Staff report, please.
Chair Sosa, commissioners. Item 16 in your book is a stipulated final order for a case involving Frankie Petrick, the fire chief and district administrator for the Yahas Rural Fire Protection District. The original complaint in this matter alleged that Ms. Petrick received the gift of a tractor as a thank you for helping with a land deal where the district bought property from her ex-husband. It also alleged she used district resources and employees to assist with her farming operations. During the course of the investigation, we were unable to confirm when this tractor deal occurred, whether it was within our jurisdictional period, or whether she ever received ownership of the tractor. We did, however, confirm that on one or more occasions, she used district employees and resources for personal benefit. At the last meeting, the commission voted to expand the scope of the investigation to include a new matter involving her receipt of cash gifts from the South Lincoln Ambulance Company. Because it contracts with the district, the ambulance company has a legislative or administrative interest in Ms. Petrick's decisions as the district administrator, thus she could not accept gifts of more than $50 a year. As we negotiated the stipulated final order, Ms. Petrick agreed to and did in fact reimburse the ambulance company the $1,750 she had received as gifts. The stipulated final order that is in your meeting book resolves both the original and the expanded investigation and provides that Ms. Petrick will receive a letter of education.
Thank you. Ms. Myers, any questions or comments? I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the stipulated final order in the case of item number 16.
So moved. Any discussion? Proceed with a roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Piskin?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sorkin?
Aye.
Commissioner Storr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item 17, Allison Hensey. Staff report, please.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners, items 17 through 20 are stipulated final orders for four board members of the East Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District. All four of the stipulated orders in your meeting books are essentially the same. These matters involved an executive session where the board was discussing a report from organizational consultants. That discussion expanded to include a conflict among employees and the executive director's performance. When the board convened this executive session, they cited only to ORS 192355, which is the statute exempting records from public disclosure, but this statute does not authorize an executive session. The board did not cite to the appropriate provisions in 192660. Because the board was acting on advice of counsel at the time it convened the session, the commission may not impose a civil penalty, but may issue a letter of education, which is what these stipulated orders provide.
Thank you. Any questions or discussion? I'll entertain a motion.
Move to accept staff recommendation.
Okay. Move to approve the stipulated final order.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So moved. Any discussion?
Are we voting on all four at the same time? Or just
one at a time. Yep. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Piskin?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sorton?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item 18, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move we approve the stipulated final order.
So moved. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Excuse me. Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Piskin?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sorton?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item 19, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
So moved by Commissioner Burke. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sorkin?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Excuse me. Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item 20, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Okay. So moved by Commissioner Burke. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sorton?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Chair Soka?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item 22, Jennifer Lynn, staff report, please.
Chair Soka, Commissioners, item 22 is a stipulated final order for Jennifer Lynn, a former teacher in the Riddle School District. In June 2019, she pleaded guilty to stealing more than $62,000 from the district. She was sentenced to 7 days in jail, 23 days on a work crew, 5 years probation, and ordered to pay restitution of over $82,000. At the commission's last meeting, the commission voted to open an investigation of this matter. As we indicated at that time, Ms. Lynn and her attorney were very cooperative and expressed an interest in resolving the matter through a stipulation. The order that is in your meeting books provides that Ms. Lynn will pay a civil penalty of $500. We recommend that the commission approve this final order.
Any questions or discussion? I have a question.
Mr. Chair, this is Commissioner Fiskum with a quick question relative to the $500 size of the penalty. At first blush, that strikes me, perhaps without enough context, as being fairly low. That amount, I suppose, could be mitigated by material at the top of page 94 about the court process for Ms. Lynn. Bottom line question is, how did we arrive at the $500?
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Ms. Martin, you have to answer that, or I can have Ms. Alpaw weigh in.
Well, we considered the fact that she was paying restitution for over $20,000 more than what she had stolen, and that she was very cooperative, not just in terms of our preliminary review, but in her interaction with the district attorney and the county. She had cooperated and avoided additional costs for the state.
Ms. Alpaw.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
I just wanted to point this out, Ron Nesbitt, in here. In your imposing civil penalty statute, it says the commission shall consider the public interest in any other penalty or sanction that has or may be imposed on the public official. In this case, she's paying a lot of money to the people she stole the money from, so that goes into the decision.
Okay. Director Burson.
And if I remember right, when she was here, you folks had kind of given some indication of working towards a settlement here, and so that's what we did.
Okay, sure. So this is Commissioner Fiskum. Thank you very much for all the responses. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. All right, any other discussion or questions? I'll entertain a motion.
I'll defer.
Commissioner Starr.
Yes, move we accept final order.
Okay, so moved. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Aye.
Mr. Sorkin?
Aye.
Mr. Starr?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay.
Are we moving through this on record time or yes. What? This is incredible.
So the next items on the agenda are the correspondence, which are not action items, but hopefully everyone's had a chance to peruse those, items 23 and 24. So unless anyone has any questions, we can move on to the miscellaneous items. Item number 25, Jennifer Gels.
Yes. Thank you, Chair Sosa and Commissioners. This is a memorandum in which we are requesting, staff is requesting that the matter regarding Jennifer Gelsey before the Ethics Commission be suspended and pending the criminal case outcome. As noted earlier, Ms. Gelsey was the records clerk for Jefferson County Sheriff's Office and has been indicted on 15 felony counts of first-degree theft, 3 counts of second-degree theft. Her next court date is a pretrial conference on January 30th, 2020, and she's currently represented by counsel Jennifer Kimball. Pursuant to both 244.390 ORS, which Ms. Alpa just mentioned, as well as 244.260, we'd be asking that this be suspended pending the outcome of that criminal matter.
Thank you very much. Any questions on that?
I have a question for counsel. Do we typically defer to the outcome of the criminal proceeding? Or
I would say yes, a lot of time, but there have been instances certainly where there has been no conviction or even going forward, and then we've found ethics commission violations. But if there's been a criminal conviction, we would use that for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I'll entertain a motion.
Just a quick, just for clarification for our newest member, is that we are allowed 180 days in investigation, and so what the staff is trying to recommend here is to secure that 180 days. We can't suspend an investigation until it's actually in investigation, so we can't suspend during preliminary review. So that's why we moved out of preliminary review, and now we're securing 180 days. Once her criminal case is done, we have to keep track of that. It's our responsibility to keep track of that, and then that 180 days will start back up. So
thank you.
That's kind of what these are, kind of a procedural thing for us to secure, keep our 180 days investigating.
Right, I will entertain a motion. Commissioner Burke?
Mr. Chair, I move that we suspend the investigative phase of the case with regards to item 25.
Thank you very much. So moved. Any discussion on the motion? Proceed with the roll call vote.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Sorry,
he's absent. Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sorjoon?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Item 26, Jan Sutherland.
Thank you. Chair Sosa and Commissioners, again, this is a request for a suspension. The purpose of the memorandum that's contained in your book at page 109 is to request the investigative phase of the case against Dan Sutherland, case number 19-273, be suspended as allowed by statute. Materials upon which the preliminary review was initiated indicate there is a pending criminal matter against Dan Sutherland in the Washington County Circuit Court. The matter is set for trial on April 7, 2020. The conduct at issue is the commission's preliminary, in the commission's preliminary review, rather, is the same conduct that forms the basis for the pending criminal prosecution. So pursuant to ORS 244.390 as well as ORS 244.260, subsection 6, we would be asking that it be suspended pending the outcome of that criminal matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
So moved.
Okay. So moved by Commissioner Starr. Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Sorkin?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
And Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Very good. All right, item 27, our cleaners report. Kendrick.
Fantastic. Chair Sosa and Commissioners, Trainer Tammy Hedrick here to give the report. Due to holidays, it was kind of slow, but we're starting to pick up again. We have a few conferences, and as we have a new commissioner, welcome. Also want to let you know as a new commissioner that you're more than welcome to come to any of the trainings that are on the calendar, and we look forward to you advocating for more training for us. With that being said, again, if you are interested in coming, just let one of the trainers know, and we'll make sure that you have the information that you'll need to attend and participate if you want.
Thank you. That would be great. I would love to do that.
Absolutely. Up and coming with the beginning of every year, as many of you seasoned commissioners are familiar, we have our up and coming Statement of Economic Interest filing that will be coming again.
Sorry.
Here we go.
With that being said, the first part of the trainer's advocacy is to make sure that the jurisdictional contacts have any training that they might need. So we will be using our new electronic filing system to send out messages to them to let them know of training that will be available. And then we will have our webinars that we'll provide to them. And we do that with them in mind, knowing that they have full-time jobs as well, and so we schedule those during different times during the month preceding the actual release of the filing requirement. So we do work diligently to make sure that they get any training necessary. And, of course, we have fantastic staff that also are available to answer questions as well. So we're going to start with the jurisdictional contacts, and then preceding that, we will then be launching a calendar of trainings for the Statement of Economic Interest filers themselves. So it'll be interesting to see if we have many new filers that take advantage of this opportunity. But with that being said, we will make sure they have a calendar of events so they can participate in one that works best for their schedule, because we also recognize, in as much as most of the filers don't have day jobs that attach them to the filing requirement, they in the office, in other words, we want to make sure that, though, that we're getting them the training that they need. We do also have a handout that we provide to them that can walk them through commonly asked questions. How do I register? How do I update information? So, again, that's up and coming. That's kind of the push for now. But outside of that, we're just continuing to manage the trainings that we have. We have some conferences that are up and coming. So as we navigate that, always as usual, we ask that you continue advocating on our behalf as we move forward through this new calendar year.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Time for the Executive Director Report, item 28.
Okay, so budget-wise, I tried to give you. Did we get that last? Yeah. Maybe I'll come back to that. So we'll start off with the statements of economic interest, because you see we continue to work through some of the previous year's non-filers, but like I reported in last meeting, all current year SCI filers are filed. So. And just again, further explanation, the Statement of Economic Interest is filed by a select group of people. It's roughly between 5,000 and 6,000 public officials out there, and it's actually spelled out in statute who has to file. And so it's pretty clear that the members of the Ethics Commission have to file, as it does the director. But in cities, it's city councils, planning commissions that file, counties, county administrators, county commissioners. So basically, it's supposed to be the folks that kind of have their hands on public monies. And it basically gives kind of an overview of where your personal financial interests lie. It does not require amounts that you make, but it does ask about where your income is coming from, so that people from the public can know that you're not making decisions that could benefit you personally. So that's really what they're about. They're all online now. They used to be filed by paper. We have big filing cabinets out here full of them. They keep starting to get whittled down a little bit. Each year we can get rid of them, so eventually we can get rid of the big file cabinets because of how long we have to hold them. But when they were sitting here in file cabinets, they weren't all that useful to the public, because the public has to come down here and look at them. And they were also folded like a map, and so us just trying to copy them, we had to do a lot of cutting and pasting to make it work. So they're due on April 15th, just like taxes. So and we're not like the IRS. If it's on the weekend, the system's open on the weekend, so it will accept your filing.
When's the first day we can file? Can we file now?
You cannot file now. It'll open up about mid-March is when the opening comes up. And you'll get an email that says it's open, and you can go in and file.
And if you don't file, staff will make sure you do.
There will not be a commissioner that is ever on the late calendar here. It has not happened. Has there been phone calls made? Yes, in the past, but that has not happened. Not while I'm here, anyway. So currently we are being audited by the Secretary of State's office. That audit continues. The auditors actually were pulled onto another project, so we really haven't heard anything from them for about 2 months now. But I suspect that they will come back to see us.
Would you expect legislative recommendations and changes to come out of that?
There could be. There could be something like that. It's a performance audit, so I guess any suggestions they would have on how we could perform our duties better, and if that takes some legislative fix, that might be tied to it. So
they do, and those performance audits suggest legislative changes if they think that they're pretty routinely. I'm also contact counsel for audits, so they do if they feel it's necessary. Whether
you know, they are instituted or not.
All the hats you wear.
The problem that we may have, and like I said, I don't know what their schedule is. They just asked or told me they needed to go on to another project and we come back. You know, our concepts are due maybe in the end of April. So I'm not sure how that works because it's the governor will come out with them in December, so there'll probably be some kind of work in between April and December if the governor also agrees that we should change a statute to do that better. So anyway, I just wanted to keep you folks up to date on the audit. So we have some lobby numbers down here. The lobby registrations, I was really surprised because I got left alone here, or not alone, just with a few staff during holiday, and we got very few calls on having to re-register because all lobbyist registrations end on odd-numbered year, December 31st. So they have to re-register, even if you're going to continue to lobby. And so I found it very easy because they put a little pencil mark thing. You click on that, and it basically renews and brings up your old information. It just, it's like one push button to renew. But I was surprised how few calls we got. But the staff took care of those calls, and we're getting these people registered for this, well, this upcoming session here in February. Commissioner Fiskeman asked about administrative rules. That is something that we're going to be getting to here real quick, talking about the administrative rules, and I will tell him that the matrix is probably the number one rule that we want to look at currently. So there may be some changes coming to you folks here in the next few meetings on that. The next meeting is Thursday, not Friday, Thursday, February 13th, and you might remember we tried to stay away from February 14th because some of us are in love and have to like, you know, take care of our loved ones.
With the commission, I would prefer to be here.
Morgan's birthday, after all.
It is that also. Yeah. So I just wanted to have a friendly reminder that it is a Thursday. We don't normally meet on a Thursday. But I also want to have you folks think about legislative concepts because I'd really like to have be an agenda item in February, taking some time and talking about legislative concepts so we have some time to kind of whittle those down and get to what we really want to change in the statutes and what we're going to bring forward in April. So there will be a an agenda item on that calendar. So, and then,
so this is kind of funny.
So we've gone to the CIO's award thing. We've applied like 3 times in a row. And each time they send me an email that says we did not win. And so we did not win. And I think I told you guys that the last time we didn't win. And this time it was a really busy time and I just couldn't make the ceremony, but we didn't win. So it's like,
you won,
you know. Well, we made the podium, so we got 3rd place. We got the bronze.
This is an application award.
Yeah. So it's not a participation award. We got those previously. They were paper. This is actually wood. I wanted to go around. It's a bronze medal. And I felt bad for not going then because we were in the top 3. However, we were not pushed on to the National Association of State CIOs Award. That honor is for number 1 at the top of the pedestal. But
who was number 1?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I have the little thinger. Would you mind bringing one of those brochure things in? I forgot that. It's just in that box on my table. So normally in the past they've really liked big computer projects, you know, like the Department of Revenue changed over the whole system and things like this. And quite frankly, we had a hard time competing. I mean, when the panel that they have, they were kind of like, you know, down a ho-hum because they don't see a 9-person agency creating an application that affects so many people. But this case management system, all these people that come before us are all affected by it. All the advice that we give out there, I know it kind of goes over because they're non-action items, but that advice is one of the vital roles of this agency, giving people that advice and put it out there for the public to see. So,
well, just the way you described the cabinet where people used to have to get there, you know.
So these were the winners.
The Oregon State Police got gold.
Yeah.
So, and then the Department of Corrections got silver.
Yeah. But like I said, we made the podium this time. I was really happy about that. So
maybe if we stick a jail cell in the back.
Yeah. No, that would be even scarier. Right? So anyway, it's really a compliment to the staff here. I mean, this CMS project, what it's producing outside of here for people to be able to see the decisions that you make on cases and the advice that's given out there, I think it really is serving a really good purpose for the state of Oregon itself. And then lastly, I have, I guess she left, she shouldn't have probably left, but Tammy is leaving us. She has accepted a promotional opportunity with the employment department, so she's going to jump into the ranks of management. And so we really wish her good luck. She will not be here by the next meeting, but we will open up that position right away. So she probably should have told you that herself, but I...
We just hired her, didn't we?
No, she's actually been with the agency for 10 years.
For 10 years?
She's been here for 10 years.
All the time.
And, you know, it's a compliment to the people that we do have around here that, you know, the state of Oregon is looking for more managers out there. I was just talking to a fellow that I work out with that works for NORPAC, and you know, NORPAC, they lost a bunch of managers, and it's like, you should apply to the state. The state's always looking for people to manage folks out here, good talent. And so anyway, Tammy has accepted a position with the employment department, and maybe you can tell them what you're going to manage over there.
Yeah, so I'll be in the tax status unit. I used to work for the employment department. I did business employment services for them, and I was an adjudicator, so I ultimately left being. With that being said, I've never really worked on the employer, that side of the employer business. So with that being said, I'll have 20 staff. And
oh, wow.
Big change. And I couldn't have done it without how I've been developed here. I will be honest with you. I'm going to take a lot away, and I'm going to miss a lot of people here. Diane, Kathy, Virginia, and Susan, so with
not
that...
Not me.
Oh, wow. So I
boy, once you get the reference check.
I'm truly scared to death, but absolutely, I wouldn't be who I am and developed to this opportunity, which was a great opportunity. So I'm going to miss all the commissioners and the meetings and the fantastic collaboration. So thank you, Ron, for letting them know, and with that being said, yes, I am moving on. And
that's a huge loss, for the record. That is unfortunate. I mean, it's great for you. It's terrible for us. I sat through one of your trainings, a year ago. Incredible. You did a very thorough job. So.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And truly, I have to, again, put that back on my colleagues. I wouldn't be the great trainer I was without everyone shaping me as I've been here. Ron.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for the great work. Let's give her a round.
And with that, Chair, unless anybody has any questions,
we're done.
Okay. Do we have any more Thursday meetings, or is that the only one of the year?
I believe that's the only one for this year.
Okay.
We do have one.
Yes.
Western Liberty Network will be having its 10th annual training conference on February 1st at the Portland Airport Embassy Suites Hotel, and OGEC will be a part of it, as they will be leading a breakout session on ethics training today. If you're curious, come on by.
Oh, yeah, I did want to say this real quick. So the thing I gave you in here, I think we were at 34,000, now we're only 31,000, so I guess I spent too much money. But actually it's a really good sign that we're under our limitations so early in the biennium. But as you can tell, you know, you got almost a $3 million budget. You know, $31,000 really looks good to me, but it's, you know, it's not a big percentage. So, I mean, they don't give us a lot of, well, they don't give us any extra money in here. Having said that, in February, we will be going to the legislature in a package where they will increase our limitation for the Attorney General. The Attorney General's office actually set their rates after we'd asked for our money, and when they set those rates, it was quite a bit higher than what we actually had limitation for. And so it's about $60,000 that will be getting increased in the February session. So, and the AG's office now has promised with a flat rate to come out with those before we set our rates, because remember, we have to put our rates in so that everybody knows what to pay us to put in their budget. So we were in the book. So they're going to come out earlier with this, so we shouldn't have the problem in the future having too little of limitation. As far as the money goes to pay for that limitation, we have a strong ending balance that we're able to absorb that $67,000. You might remember last meeting we saved quite a bit of money, and that's really where it's going to go to. So even though we're going to, it's really going to be handled in the e-board, we're not asking for any more money, we're just asking for more limitation, which is the permission to spend more money, which we know we are going to do because of the flat rate that says you're going to spend this much. So our ending balance here is actually going to rise up because we're going to be given some more limitation than what you see here.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, with that, everybody, have a wonderful day, great weekend, and we're adjourned.